Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacob. It's Christmas week. It's the 21st. Actually, shortest day of the year. I just realized that. It's December 21st, so the sun's going to go out pretty early this afternoon. Now that I'm thinking about it. So happy winter solstice. Merry Christmas on Saturday. Happy New Year. This is our last show before the new year. We'll be back on January 3rd. Okay, so I'm excited today. I mean, it's been a great year, and I appreciate all the listeners and everybody else. To end the year, we've got a great guest. I've got Russ Davis here. Russ is the CEO and founder of School Status, and to talk to him, we're going to use the phones and go down to Mississippi, and to, I assume that's where he is, down there, and talk about School Status. And they're a leading provider of educational communications, between giving data, all right, to administrators. He'll explain it better than I can, so that they can communicate properly with the community. And there is nothing, especially these days, I mean, student safety, you know that. It's so important right now to communicate properly. So we're going to be talking about this with Russ. I do a lot of work with NSPRA, the School Public Relations Association. This is a very important thing. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. We just redid the website. It looks pretty cool. All right, so please go over. Check it out. The new issue of our magazine, the December issue of Equity and Access Pre-K-12, is up there. It's our online journal. Our podcasts are now very prominent on the website, and you want to, you can link over to SEL Today. There's an icon up there. SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning, is our new website. All right, so we got a lot of good stuff over there at ace-ed.org. We'll archive this show. Merry Christmas, Russ. Welcome to the show. It's Larry here.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, Larry, really appreciate you having me on.
Are you kidding me? It's my pleasure to have you on. You got a great company here with School Status at schoolstatus.com. And, Russ, I have to ask, something is striking my mind. Were you ever on before?
Was I what? I'm sorry?
Were you on the show as my guest before this today?
No, this is my first time. I've listened to the show, but I've never been a participant.
Thank you. Well, you're going to be a participant, I hope, many times in the future when we're done with this thing, okay, because this is going to be good. For some reason, I did. And by the way, I want you to know, although it's not close, I thought it was, my cup this morning is from the Dew Drop Inn, my coffee cup, okay?
Uh-huh.
But it's in Mobile, Alabama. I thought it was going to be Mississippi, okay, because we got good friends who live in Long Beach, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they got me the cup.
Small town called Poplarville. Yep.
There you
absolutely.
Go.
Well, okay. I grew up in a small town called Poplarville, so it's about an hour from there.
Are you from Mississippi originally?
I am from Mississippi, actually. I grew up in a tiny town of about 2,000 people called Poplarville. It's about an hour from the coast.
Poplarville. You don't have any accent at all. I thought you had moved down there. That would have been my guess.
You know what? I get that a lot. I think a lot of it just comes from traveling. And believe it or not, I come from a long lineage of people from Mississippi, but my parents really never picked up the accent. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, don't talk to any of them because they won't believe you. You're your ancestors. Right? We're going to think you're an intruder. We're going to say, Russ, it's a pleasure to have you here. It really is. And you're in Jackson now, right?
I am, yeah. I'm actually, our office is in Ridgeland, which is a little bit north of Jackson, and I live in Madison, a little bit north of there, so.
Don't know Madison, but I know the other one. That's pretty cool. Tell us about School Status, and you are the founder of School Status, all right? And
that's correct,
this
yep.
Really good stuff. Just tell everybody how you founded it and what it does. I really like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate it, Larry. And again, thanks for the opportunity to come on.
Well, my pleasure.
You know, we started School Status about 10 years ago now. And I grew up, everyone in my family taught but me. My dad was a teacher and a principal. And my mom retired with 27 years in the classroom. But both of my sisters were teachers. One of them still teaches. The other one's a technology director. But I was the baby of the family. And I did not get the teaching bug. So I was never really interested in being a classroom teacher, but it's the family business, so to speak. And so I was on the technology side of the house. So I was always the kid that was, building out the network for the school and then wiring closets and things like that, and did that for a long time. Ended up being a technology director for a school district at 19 years old, and then,
wow.
Kind of worked my way up through the ranks until I was doing some state-level work, and I was actually director of accountability systems for the state of Mississippi, and so
okay.
What that means is that I helped analyze all the data that determine the ABCDF ratings and the accountability models for the state. We had obviously had a team there, but that was kind of my primary function, was to help implement and develop those models. I left there in 2010 and did some accountability work. And then eventually, our customers kept coming to us, Larry, and asking for, okay, this is really great that we can see why we're an A, B, or C, but this is really kind of a post-mortem analysis, right? This is after everything has happened, we can see why that is. We want more real-time data so that we can actually affect change.
Yeah.
And that's really how School Status got started. So we, when I say we, it was myself and employee number two is a guy named Nick Peterman, who is still with us,
yeah.
and Josh Deere, who's our lead engineer, also still with us, and we basically
wow.
created an on-demand data analytics solution for K-12, and that really didn't exist back then. It was all, on-premise, it wasn't in the web, it was, brick-and-mortar applications.
Right.
It required, being a former technology director, it just required a ton of work to get off the ground, which is why, a large percentage of these projects just fail, and it's because it requires too much of a busy school district in order to implement. And so that's the problem that we set out to solve, was we need to have data analytics that's point and click,
right.
that's easy, it's on the web, and it's easily deployable.
Wow, that it is so great. Now tell me what you're hearing. How many school districts do you work with now? Okay, approximately. Okay, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And what are they saying? How do they use it? This is really fascinating to me. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we're close to 200 school districts across 19 states. And so, really the kind of the key use case, and I failed to mention something when I was describing the product, we also do communication as well.
Yes.
So we enable people to take that data and then reach out to parents and actually physically talk to them via the phone or text message or email or video chat, short of carrier pigeon, there's we've got pretty much every communications methodology on demand. And so basically the use case is that school districts are, seeing data in real time, and whenever they spot a problem, right, the place where you spot the problem and the place where you actually solve that problem and get parents involved is the same system. And so if I, for instance, if I want to see all the students in my class who have an F or have missed more than 4 days or have more than 3 discipline events, and I want to send their parents a note saying, hey, I'd like to, do a one-on-one with you and discuss this,
right.
They can do that from our system. And what we do is that we create a one-to-one relationship. So once that parent has that phone number, they can save it in their phone as that teacher, basically, and they can call and text and email. And then all that information is logged and recorded in our system so that administrators have some visibility into what's going on.
This is fascinating to me. I got to tell you, how does it work? I assume you're selling this to superintendents, okay, as you work your way into school districts. And I would think so, and I'm curious puts all the information together and gets the information to the right person.
That's right. Yeah, it aggregates and disaggregates. I think it's the
thank you. I couldn't think
the wording
word.
That you're
Thank
looking
you.
For there.
Yeah.
But
thank
yeah,
you.
we definitely sell to district level administrators. We'll also sell to individual schools if the need arises. But I would say overwhelmingly, probably 95-96% of our sales is done at the district level. And while it is a superintendent
right.
in a lot of cases, sometimes it's the assistant superintendent, deputy superintendent, somebody in charge of curriculum instruction. We're getting more and more people from the communication side of the house that are interested in our product
yeah.
as well, because we have some mass messaging components that are built
oh,
in
I,
now.
I,
and so so really it takes the data and it goes from the classroom level down to the student level, really, and then it will aggregate that data to the classroom, to small groups, you know, to the building principal can see their entire building, or they could look at an individual student or a superintendent. You know, they're really more interested in tracking kind of those large moving indicators like, you know, attendance, discipline, grades, you know, state assessments, things like that. They're really interested in those KPIs, like, you know, gauges and dials that move, as opposed to individual students. But, you know, if they get a call from an angry parent, which happens every day in America and every school district in America, then they can quickly type a student's name, and they can see everything about that student. So everything that's happened this year, they can look back and see all the communication that's happened. So the data experience is very rich.
Do you see it? And you seem to focus, I may be wrong here, on the individual student. Okay, but I also see a great need for it, that it gives a total picture, and I'm sure you've ever thought of this, you know, of the school district. You can see that all the kids scored at an eighth grade reading level in seventh grade, something like that, okay? And, you know, I said at the beginning of the show, I work a lot with the NSPRA, the School Public Relations Association. I don't know whether you work with them or not. But these two things, this comes together. I see this as a great means using data. See, it's nice to, you know, keep in touch and all that, but this actually can flag you. Talk to me about this. I'm very interested. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, yeah, it does enable you to see, obviously, you know, one of our taglines is see the whole student. So we want to look at, the first thing we want to do is look at all the data about a student holistically, right? So we want to be able to see every data that's lying around, every data component that's lying around anywhere in a school district. So attendance, discipline, grades, you know, computing graduation rates, looking at, you know, you know, all the ancillary data, the accelerated readers and maths, their, you know, SPED screeners, you name it, we pull it in. And you can look at that data also longitudinally. So you can look at it in the past. You can go back and compare, well, look, maybe they're a high truancy student, but they do pretty well. Let me look at the years past and see if there's a pattern or a trend here. And so you can do that on the individual student level. But as you mentioned, the real power is being able to aggregate that data and say, look, I want to create a dashboard that shows me all the students who are at risk, right? So all the students who have, or the bottom 20% of the statewide test scores, or the statewide assessments rather, all the students, additionally, all the students who, you know, have more than three disciplinary events, all the students who are persistently truant, or persistently absent. And then we can build a dashboard about that. And let's say I want to bounce that now and look at, you know, socioeconomic, you know, slash poverty status, break it down by race, gender. I can really start drilling into what are the underlying root causes. And honestly, Larry, the reason we got started, because we wanted to affect change, right? We wanted, whenever we first got started, it was, you know, we really wanted to change education, the way that we look at data so that, you know, students aren't, you know, it's very difficult to leave a student behind because there's bells and whistles going off telling you, you know, every kind of highlighting the students and bringing them to the top.
So let me ask you this. You heard me say our organization is called the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Mm-hmm. I'll brag again at ace-ed.org. Put what you just said, and what you do at School Status into the equity area. Please, Russ.
Well, I think, absolutely. So, you know, I live in a state that, you know, Mississippi is, you know, we've got some gains that we've made in the past few years, and we're very proud of those. But there's also been, you know, it's a tale of haves and have-nots. And you could pretty much, you know, look at student performance along the lines of equity. And there's a very strong correlation between, you know, socioeconomic poverty status and race in my state with student performance in a lot of cases. And that's almost always tied to poverty and access to education. And so, you know, one of the issues is that a lot of the communication methodologies that are out there today in schools require an app. They want you to download an application on your phone, and, you know, they want to get you in this kind of rich app experience. And we kind of started from the opposite perspective. What is the least common denominator, right? You know, a lot of parents that we see that are, you know, in households of need, they have a candy bar phone. They have the free phone, whatever, the cheapest phone that you could possibly imagine. That's the one that they're carrying around in their pocket. And so just because somebody doesn't have the latest smartphone, I'm talking to you on the latest and greatest iPhone, right? I'm really not that target demographic. But whatever they have in their pocket, we should be able to reach them and they should be able to reach us.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we're trying to democratize access to teachers as opposed to, hey, I work three or four shifts. Jobs throughout the year, or I work the graveyard shift. Coming in and talking to my child's teacher is actually quite a huge lift. But I shouldn't be locked out of that experience just because I can't get off of work during the school hours. And so again, we're just trying to make sure that universally parents have access to teachers and vice versa. And that's not always been the case in the U.S. And so
I really
appreciate the work that you guys are doing. You know, around equity.
Thank you.
I think it's very important. And I think it's, you know, it's not just a buzzword, right? It's something that's definitely going to stick. And I think that it's, you know, here to stay. And I'm glad that people are finally putting a spotlight on that and an emphasis on it. And again, you know, that's one of the ways that people use our software is that they can look at, you know, show me these students that are typically underserved in our community. And let's look at how we're communicating to them. Do we need to over-communicate? I can put them on a list and say, look, these are kind of the families that we need to be communicating with the most, and ensuring that those students have just as much of an ability to get access. I'll tell you a quick story, Larry.
Please.
The reason I'm so passionate about this is because I almost didn't graduate high school. And the reason I didn't is because my parents and the school weren't really talking to each other. And so I was my grades were slipping, and my parents just didn't know about it. I was able to. That's right. And they worked in the same. My mom worked in the same school district as you know, everyone else as well. So, you know, it's even kind of a double conundrum. But I was able to kind of mask that I was failing, frankly. And, you know, I grew up in a really small town, as I mentioned, and we had two grocery stores in the whole town. Yep. And it just so happened that my mom and one of my teachers were walking down the aisle, and one of my teachers said, hey, by the way, I'm really disappointed in Russ's performance. And my mom, I'm sitting right there, and I want to crawl, you know, under the shopping cart, you know. But mom said, what are you talking about? And then I was busted. And then basically my mother willed me to graduate high school. And my mom was the first one in her family to graduate high school and college. And so it was very, of great importance. But I very nearly became a statistic. And basically the premise of that story is that, you know, we should not leave the performance of the student, should not be left to chance, right? Whether
That's
I graduated
right.
or not shouldn't depend That's upon right. that teacher and that my mom having a collision in a grocery store and talking to each other about me. That should be happening on a recurring basis. And so that's really one of the reasons why we started doing communications. And the data has to be there in order for those two things to work together. They go together like peas and carrots, man. I mean, you have to have one and the other.
Well, by the way, I'm glad you made it through high school because you certainly have done good work since. Okay, congratulations.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know, and it's a classic example. I have to say, this goes back to this equity question, okay? If we don't have good communication, we lose kids. If you lived in a bigger city, you might have been lost, okay?
Yes,
like that teacher
absolutely.
Might shop at a different food market, okay, in a different neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. You would have been lost. And think about how many kids we lose, and I'm not just talking for the sake of the student, okay? Look, I'll just use you as the example, Russ, if I may. Look what you've done, okay? We can't afford to lose kids, okay? Kids today, if we can't lose brilliant people, okay, because they just didn't have the right communication tools or we just didn't pay attention to their needs or whatever, it's
right.
killing us. It's killing us. It's killing the student, but it's killing us. Okay, we wind up
Absolutely.
With someone who isn't reaching the potential they could for us, and for frankly, for the state, for the country. Okay, and it's just a mess. Give me good. Go ahead, please. Yeah.
No. I couldn't agree more with you. And you know, I think what you really, I mean, it's a. I don't want to underestimate. First of all, it's. Look, we're just providing a tool set for teachers and parents to do what they do best, right? So, you know, we think that schools are doing great work, but I want to be clear, the people that are doing the hard work out there are the teachers and the principals and honestly the parents who are just trying to get their kids through school and to live, you know, live the life that they want. So, but I will say that, you know, I just think it's really important that all districts, I'm still surprised at the number of school districts that don't have a data tool that's integrated with a communications tool that's integrated. Now we do workflows as well, because those things, you know, naturally go together. But from an equity perspective, I grew up pretty broke. And so, you know, if you look at statistically, I'm less likely to graduate high school. And because of that intervention, that's exactly what that was, I was able to do so. And so we have to have tools to do that at scale. You know, school districts are generally not provided, all the resources they absolutely need in a lot of cases. And so they have to buy tools that enable them to scale their processes up so that they can find those students and remediate those students and, kind of a red light, green light system, but also be able to drill down and know that behind every data, every point on a graph, there's a student behind that. Why aren't they doing well? What's going on at home? And there's a Joyce Epstein is kind of the matriarch of parental communication.
Joyce has been on the show.
Yeah. And she's done a ton of great work, but, you know, and this is, you know, schools spend a lot of time looking for silver bullets. Whenever I was in a school district, we'd swap, you know, applications and different reading programs and things like that, trying to find the one that fits. But if you look at communication, students generally do better, discipline, grades, graduation, truancy, and it works across all demographics, you know, rich kids, poor kids, white kids, students of color, native English speakers, non-native English speakers. It works. And so, you know, I think a lot of it just has to do with getting parents and teachers involved. And let me tell you, from, you know, speaking from a state that has a, you know, very high poverty rate, you know, I think that a lot of parents kind of get a bad rap that maybe, you know, because they're not as involved in their child's education because they're working 3 or 4 big jobs, you know, maybe they care less about their students somehow. And let me tell you, that is a fallacy, and it can become embedded over time, and it's just not true. All parents love their kids the same, right? I love my kid just as much. If you have children, I'm not sure, Larry, but
I do.
If I love my child just as much as the next guy, and I can't imagine anybody loving their child more than I love my child, but it's universally true, and parents want to help.
Nice.
And so, but a lot of the times, you know, imagine calling into a school district to talk to your child's teacher, right? Would you call the school main number, and maybe they would take out one of those pink slips that says while you were out, and they would write your name down, and they'd put it in their box. I mean, it's just antiquated. We need to have direct access to those teachers.
Right, because the world has changed since while you were out pads. We're popular.
Yeah.
Okay. The
That's
world
exactly right.
has
and
changed. Okay. And education must change with it. Okay. It's that simple. The power of communication is so incredibly important. And I'm going to say this in regards to what you do, Russ, the power of data-driven communications. Okay. And I'll use your word aggregating the information about the student and flagging it. I mean, it's just key stuff. We got to leave in a few minutes, but I want you to talk about something over the last couple of years. And hopefully, well, I think it's just getting worse again, is COVID. Okay, we got this Omicron thing now, and God, I just hope they don't ever have to close the schools again. Okay, and what happened with school status, okay, and during the COVID times? I mean, I imagine it became even more important.
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever the former president declared that we were going to shut down for that 20-day period and we were going to, you know, quote, beat COVID, I guess, we saw communications increase 700-800% over the previous day. And it stayed, I mean, we thought, okay, well, this will eventually go back to some sense of normalcy. But honestly, we have seen a tremendously high volume of communications ever since then, and it really hasn't gone away. And so, there was no, you know, if you'll recall back at the beginning of COVID, there really wasn't a lot of infrastructure in place, you know. Instead of having Chromebooks and all this stuff running around and an LMS, you know, school districts were printing off, like, worksheets, and they were sending those home because, all the students had access to the internet.
I know those
stories.
I heard those from so many school districts, particularly rural ones. It was brutal. Go ahead. Yeah,
absolutely. It was awful. They had filing cabinets out on the sidewalk under the, kind of the eaves where they do pickup. And they would say, what's your child's name? And they'd go find the worksheets and they'd hand them to them. And that was what education looked like. And so you can imagine, you know, our parents, the parents that we serve and the teachers that we serve, you know, they had to have a way to communicate, and they started communicating like crazy. The good thing about communication is once you start, once a teacher makes that outreach or a parent makes that outreach, it creates a conversation that's open-ended and it's asynchronous. So, you know, just like you're texting on your phone, they could send messages back and forth to each other as it hits them, and nobody has to respond. You know, people generally do respond in real time, but, you know, it gives an opportunity for parents and teachers to talk as needed, as opposed to it being an event like it was before. Like a phone call is synchronous, right? You and I are having a conversation right now. We're not doing anything else. You know, that's all we can do. But if you're able to text or email or whatever the case may be, you can serve hundreds of teachers or hundreds of parents at the same time.
Right.
And that's really, really powerful. But we also found it was very overwhelming for teachers. Teachers have to have a way to manage this communication. If it's coming to their, you know, some teachers give out their personal cell phone, and there is no segregation between the work and their, the messages that are coming in for work and the messages that are coming in for their personal lives.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we provide is a separate inbox, basically, for that communication so that they can have some work-life balance. And they could set office hours. So they can say, look, from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., I don't wish to be disturbed. And they won't get those messages. They'll still arrive. And if somebody tries to call, they can leave a voice message. But it's really enabled, you know, teachers that were already kind of, you know, on the edge of burnout before the pandemic. It's really enabled them to have a way to manage this communication. It's not ideal teaching in a pandemic. That's probably the understatement of the last 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, you have to have a way to – you have to have the tools in place to make it easier.
You do. You know, that is a great point. We live in the age of technology, all right? And we don't use chalk anymore as a given example, okay? And we don't use the while you were out pad as a given example, all right? And you know, to use something like school status and just make – The big question out there for educators, the thing that's is time management. They don't have enough time.
Yep.
Okay. And this helps. This helps.
Absolutely.
All right. And it gives them a picture. It's unbelievable. Russ, are you going to be around this week or next? Or are you taking the time off over the holidays? I'd like to talk to you further. We got to wind down here in a few minutes.
But no, absolutely. Happy to talk anytime. I'm going to be spending some time with my family over the next couple of weeks. But if you want to set up a follow-up, we're happy to do so.
Okay, great. I'm going to get in touch with you, all right? And we're going to do that because this is really good stuff, all right? And I want to help you move it from 19 states to 50 and some provinces in Canada, too.
I appreciate that, Larry. We're,
okay,
we're
that's,
happy
that's
to do
great.
It.
That's great. I love what you've done here. I love what you've done here. It's terrific. So happy Mississippi Christmas from Maine, another state that begins with M. Okay, it'll be colder up here.
I appreciate that. I'm betting it's colder there than it is here.
It is. It is. Yesterday, when I woke up yesterday morning, it was 7. That's it, 7.
Well, it's in the 40s today, so that's
it's going to go off here.
I don't know
today,
whether we win or
7.
Lose, but we're definitely warmer. So
it is. So I hope Santa finds his way. When the reindeers land, give them water. It's always so hot down there. Okay.
When the reindeer Absolutely, Larry. And I appreciate you having me on, and just really appreciate the work that you're doing.
And back at you, my friend. We'll be in touch. Okay. Thank you, Russ. You take care.
All right. Take
Merry
care.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
See ya.
Thanks.
Bye
bye. Okay, everybody. Wow, what a good guy. Russ Davis is the CEO and founder of School Status, schoolstatus.com. This is a good thing, all right? I like it. We'll do more, all right? It always comes down to equity. It's just amazing. Oh, and time management, it's great. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Check it all out, what we do. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holiday season. All right, Happy New Year. We'll be back on January 3rd. So please check out what we do, et cetera, and have a good, safe, happy holiday. Thank you, Russ. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, signing off for 2021. We'll see you in 2022.